Well, hello everyone. It's good to be able to communicate with you in this forum. Just wanted to let you know that for those of you who enjoy some of the things that we share, that we're going to be doing this when I'm in town on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. If I'm in town, even though we're kind of late to doing it in the day now than I intended, but from like 1:15 to 1:30, those 4 days every week, for the foreseeable future. I just believe that's something that the Holy Spirit has put in my heart to do, and so just in following Him, I'm going to be doing that. So again, on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, from at 1:15, we'll be doing about a 10 or 15 minute thing together, just sharing from His heart. Again, I'm really grateful if you're given some time for me to be able to share my heart, and I trust the heart of the Lord about some things. There's a scripture that is in Matthew 28 I talked about just recently that's really blessed me. It's just revealed again to me the true nature of our God and His heart for us and how He is so patient with us and so committed to us. The scripture says that in our weaknesses, His strength is made perfect. It doesn't say that He's appalled with our weaknesses. It doesn't say that He's offended with our weaknesses. It doesn't say that He turns His back on us because of our weaknesses, or that He's driven away because of our weaknesses. The whole point of Him coming is to make us whole in the context of our fallenness, our weakness. In other words, in our weakness, His strength is made perfect. So He joins Himself to our weaknesses. He doesn't flee from them. He joins Himself and His strength to our weaknesses. And in those places of weakness, of struggle, of doubt, He fills those places with His vibrant life. And so at the heart of being a Christian is that we have been joined to the very person of Christ. And it's our union with Him that makes us Christians. That's what it means to be saved. I'll just read this verse to you, and then we'll come back to Matthew. And again, this is my first attempt at this for a while, so I want to try to make sure that I'm not keeping you longer than necessary. This is from Romans chapter 5. This is verse 10. Let me put my super deluxe reading glasses on here so I can read my own Bible. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved in His life. Now we know about the saving work of Christ through His death. Our sins were paid for. The old self that we once were was crucified. But every day, because we've been joined to Him, because we're in Him and He's in us, we're being saved by His life, being saved in His life. He's in our weaknesses. His strength is being made perfect. So let me just read these verses that I wanted to kind of get to, see if they're a word of encouragement to you. This is the last part of Matthew 28. In most mission services where there's someone who's a missionary or somebody's talking about missions and they're charging people or challenging people to respond to the call to share the gospel, these are the verses that they'll share. This is verse 16. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had designated. Now this will be, most people think, the fifth time the 11, because, you know, Judas is no longer alive, the 11 apostles have an encounter with the risen Christ. Fifth time. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some were doubtful. Now, that's interesting to me, is that it says that they all, when they saw Him, worshipped Him. But some, not all of them, but some of them were still doubtful. Now, that's amazing to me in light of how much Christ had been revealing Himself to them, that some were still doubtful, but they were. And these are the apostles. And so in their life of worshiping Jesus, they were entertaining some doubts. That happens to us sometimes, doesn't it? That things happen in life, situations occur, and that even in the midst of your worshiping Him and sincerely worshiping Him, there are just questions. There are things you don't understand. There are doubts that you have. What I love about this is that Jesus didn't respond to that. It didn't offend him. Surely he knew there were doubts in their heart, even though they were worshiping him. It's as if what he counted as real was their worship and wasn't offended with the doubts. So the very next verse says this, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Again, Jesus doesn't act disappointed in them. He doesn't seem to be offended with them. You know, again, it seems as if he's embracing their worship, even though there's some things going on in the inside, some confusion, some misunderstanding, some not understanding, some doubts. And then he speaks to them, even in the fact that they're having some doubts, though they are worshiping him. So they're true worshipers. They've committed themselves to him. Worship is certainly an act of surrender. And yet there's some things that aren't totally together on the inside. They've gone through some real trauma in the last few days. Their world has been turned upside down. But Jesus speaks to them and commits to them the Great Commission. He says, "I want you, though you're doubting worshipers, I want you to go into all the world. I want you to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want you to teach them to observe all that I've commanded you, because I'm with you always. I'm not abandoning you because it's not all perfect on the inside in your hearts, that I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, here's the thing I want to say is that I remember in a situation one time that I was sort of in the midst of. And I was supposed to be a person that was helping to solve a problem. It was a pretty serious problem. But no matter what I tried to do, it just didn't seem to work. It didn't seem to get fixed. The situation kept blowing up. And so I was in this setting one day, and there was somebody speaking. There was a lot, hundreds and hundreds of people around me. But all I could think about was the latest sort of thing that happened in the situation that had fallen through. The solution didn't work. And so I'm finding myself feeling anxious because I don't know what the outcome is going to be if this doesn't get fixed, and I can't seem to say the right thing to fix it. And so I had all these doubts and concerns and fears going on inside of me. Now, Jesus didn't rebuke me, but he did speak into my heart without offense in his voice. He said, "Chuck, I've got faith for this." And I thought, what? And it was so clear. It wasn't audible, but I knew it was the voice of the Lord speaking in me. And I said, "What, Lord? You've got faith for this?" He said, "I've got faith for this situation." I'm thinking, "You've got faith for this? And so does it matter that I don't have faith for this?" And he said, "No, it doesn't matter that you don't have faith for this. I've got faith for this." So I thought, so I can quit trying to figure this all out and be stressed out about it. I can just rest in the fact that you have faith for this. And he said, "Chuck, yes, because that's what faith actually is. Faith is resting in his faithfulness." And what I find as someone who's a true worshiper, that sometime in my walk with the Lord as a true worshiper, I'm worshiping him, but there are these things going on inside of me. There are genuine doubts and concerns and stuff that I haven't figured out. And I have Jesus speaking into me and saying, "Chuck, I've got faith for this. I'm not offended by your doubts. In your weakness, my strength to be made perfect." And you know, Galatians 2:20 says this. Amazing. This is what Galatians 2:20 actually says. The King James gets it right this time. It says, "I'm crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in this humanity, in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Not faith in the Son of God. I understand that meaning, faith in the Son of God. But that scripture says the faith of the Son of God. So if I've been grafted into the life of Christ, And his life has been grafted into my life. And he's, it says in Colossians 3, he's my very life, that I get to live by his faith. You see, I get to live by the faith of Christ. And the faith of Christ transcends the weaknesses that I experience sometimes when there's real doubts. There's a place in 2 Timothy 2, verse 13, that says, even when we believe not, he abides faithful because he cannot deny himself. Jesus can't stop being Jesus. And so I feel very much sometimes that I can identify with these 11 apostles who, even though Jesus had come to them, this is their fifth encounter with him, some of them were still having some doubts, and yet they were worshiping him. They weren't false. They weren't pretenders. They were worshiping, but with some genuine things going on inside of them. But Jesus wasn't offended. As a matter of fact, he said, you're just what I'm looking for. Go, therefore, into all the world. He sent them. Now, it doesn't mean that they stayed with those doubts. I'm sure at some point, as they learned, as they walked it out, Jesus in his kindness and patience, demonstrating his strength in their weakness, as they lived by the faith of Christ, those things subsided. And there are times in my life where I don't have any doubts at all, often. And the more I've grown, Lord, the more that is so. But sometimes I'll walk through places and I don't stop worshiping him. That's really important. And I'm not disqualified or a phony worshiper because I'm having doubts. And I know that Jesus, the great high priest who sympathizes with my weaknesses, isn't offended. He just says, Chuck, I've joined myself to you. And so just rest in me. And even though you have some doubts, I don't. And so just rest in the fact that I have faith for this. I understand even things that you don't understand. So you don't have to understand everything. And when I do that, I find that the doubts and the concerns, the things I don't understand, melt away and drift away as I learn to live from Christ and not just try to live for Christ. Okay? Well, I hope that's a word that encourages you. It's just reminds me that Jesus is discipling us, and he's teaching us how to participate in his life, and he understands. He was tempted in every way like unto us, and he understands. Again, he's a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses. He understands them. He's not offended with them. He just invites us to keep worshiping him and to simply trust him with those doubts and the stuff that's going on inside of us, and just keep walking out, resting in the fact that he understands everything that we don't understand. Even though we don't get it, he gets it. And that it's enough for us that he gets it and that he has faith for it. For whatever it is, for just doing life, for just waking up tomorrow and going after life again. And we can just rest in that. Amen. Okay. Well, I trust, I'm not sure how long we took. Again, my intention is not to be this for very long and to try to keep it as short as possible. So don't be discouraged if it went longer than you're expecting. We'll go after this at 1:15. We didn't do it today at 1:15. On Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. If you don't see it, it'll be because I had to be out of town. Like next Thursday, I'll be out of town. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 1:15, we'll do something that'll probably last maybe 5 or 10 minutes at the most. Okay? Well, God bless you. I love you. And my prayer is that you'll discover that more than anything else is important in terms of your walk with him. It's not nearly so much about your commitment to Jesus as it is about his commitment to you. And when you get that, then you can simply abide in him and his commitment to you to live his life out through you. And even in your weaknesses, they're not blocks, they're opportunities. They're a stage from which he can demonstrate his strength. Okay? Have a great rest of the day and a great weekend. God bless you.